Hey there! Are you a crime scene investigator, law enforcement officer, or forensic scientist looking for a Facebook community that understands you? Check out Taction USA's Forensic Product Groups. You'll find blogs, articles, information, and community. For those of us in the investigative field, there are not many lines of support out there, but Taction USA is a company that was founded by law enforcement for law enforcement. Subscribe today to get access to exclusive content. Just look for Taction USA in Facebook groups. Welcome to Crossing the Tape. We bring you a mini episode today. So please sign the crime scene log and join us for a story about a man who left one too many clues behind.
Like an idiot. On October 17, 1978, in Omaha, Nebraska, after failing to show up for work 2 days in a row, a co-worker of Carol Bonnet contacted the manager of her apartment complex and asked him to check on Carol. After not receiving a response at the door, the manager peeked through the mail slot and saw Bonnet face down on the floor. Fearing the worst, the manager called for an ambulance. The Omaha Fire Department arrived at the scene and gained entry to the apartment. Inside, they found Carol Bonnet naked, face down, with a stab wound to her torso, deceased. The Omaha Police Department arrived and took over the scene. The normally tidy apartment was in shambles, indicating a struggle occurred. The phone cord had been cut, preventing any calls for help. A note taunting police was found near the body. It read, "I am leaving this crime with only one clue. Find it yourself, pig. Die, pig." Signed, Helter. Investigators collected the note, as well as fingerprints and palm prints from around the apartment. However, with all the evidence collected, there was still no certainty about the one clue mentioned in the note. It was also discovered Bonnet's car was stolen, turning up days later in Cicero, Illinois. Fingerprints were collected from the vehicle, with some belonging to Bonnet and others unidentified. After processing the prints and finding no matches in the available databases, the case went cold. In March 2009, the Omaha Police Department Cold Case Unit re-evaluated the fingerprints from the Bonnet murder using the Integrated Automated Fingerprint Identification System, or IAFIS, IAFIS, to once again look for a match. IAFIS was launched by the FBI in 1999 and is designed to house and compare fingerprint data on a national level. Many states have their own AFIS, which are connected to the FBI's integrated system, and this allows vital information to be shared between state, local, and federal agencies.
It's very helpful.
Yes. The decades-old unidentified fingerprints matched through AFIS to a man named Jerry Watson. Detectives discovered Jerry Watson was serving prison time in Illinois for burglary charges, and he grew up in Cicero, and lived only a few blocks from where the stolen vehicle was found. In the latter part of 1978, he had visited a relative in Omaha. This places Watson in the proximity and time frame of the murder, however more would be needed for the conviction. Watson was interviewed in prison, where he confessed to being in Omaha in 1978, but, of course, he denied committing the murder. Before concluding the interview, detectives took finger and palm prints from Watson, as well as DNA samples, which laboratory technicians were able to get the full and partial profiles from the DNA.
Good.
And as well as off of several pieces of evidence from the 1978 crime scene. And those, of course, matched to Watson. With a mountain of evidence on their side, detectives were preparing to charge Watson for the murder, but the question remained, what was the one clue he mentioned in the note?
Right.
Well, looking through the items taken from the scene, cold case detectives noticed something scribbled on a newspaper which was found near the body, and the note. Upon further examination, it became apparent the scribble was the signature Jerry W.
Oh, wow.
Which had been scratched out in blue ink. This had likely been overlooked in the initial investigation because it looked like someone had scribbled or doodled on the newspaper, not that someone had covered up a signature.
That's too bad.
Yes. Now, of course, if they did get the name Jerry W., it wouldn't have narrowed it down a ton in 1978, but...
And doesn't, like,
but
prove...
Yeah, that he that he killed someone in that apartment. But, with everything they have now...
Yeah.
And someone signed Jerry W. at the scene and said, there's a clue, find it.
Right.
On November 15th of 2010, Jerry Watson was charged with use of a deadly weapon to commit a felony and first-degree murder. He was convicted by a jury on August 25th of 2011, and exactly 33 years after the murder, on October 17th, 2011, Watson was sentenced to life in prison.
Good.
Watson would go on to appeal the conviction all the way to the Nebraska Supreme Court, arguing, due to the three-decade delay in prosecution, some key witnesses were unavailable, and thus he wasn't able to confront those accusers as part of his defense. Which is a fair point.
Yeah,
30 years on, the apartment manager may not even be alive, and so on.
True, but there's enough evidence against him to prove it.
The Nebraska Supreme Court upheld the conviction, citing there was indeed sufficient evidence for a jury to convict. Just as they do.
Yeah. Huh. I like that physical evidence played such a big role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With the prints and everything, and then he was wise enough to leave one clue.
Right.
Which, at the time, would have meant nothing, even if they had discovered it. But 30 years on...
Right.
Oh, you're Jerry W. You're the guy that signed the newspaper and scratched it out.
I know.
Brilliant. Jerry.
Apparently not.
No. So, don't commit crimes.
Right.
And don't sign your name anywhere it doesn't need to be.
Exactly.
I think we always say that every week.
Probably something like that. Thanks for listening. Sign the crime scene log on your way out. Stay safe.
And we will see you again soon for another full episode.